Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed. Good afternoon, Bongi.
Afternoon.
I hope you are well this afternoon.
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us here on AWR.
Great to be here.
Right, we are talking to you because you are coming from Weaving Reeds, and you are going to be talking to us about overcoming generational curses. Very interesting topic, I must say. And, you know, to those of you who are listening out there, if you've been listening, you know that we've spoken and we said she's going to be joining us. And so, yeah, we've also all heard or said something like she has her mother's eyes. He looks like just like a father. You know, we have seen how physical characteristics of parents pass on to their children and even grandchildren. But what about heritage that goes beyond physical attributes? So you're going to be talking to us about that. And by the way, those who are wondering, what is Weaving Reeds, by the way? Well, just after this conversation, we'll just touch on that a bit. Now, Bongi, what exactly are generational curses?
So the term generational curses is quite popular in Christendom. Different churches, different people speak of generational curses.
Mm-hmm.
But in the way that we understand it, I would rather call them generational habits or mm-hmm. generational occurrences.
Right.
So it is that which tends to repeat itself from one generation to another.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it could happen in different ways. I mean, even in our own African tradition, we sometimes ask ourselves, "Ufuze ubani?" Like, where is this trait coming from?
Mm, mm.
Like, who is like this in this family? Because we've got this understanding that it's not just eyes and ears that get passed down, but it's also attributes and propensities towards certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll find that we have a propensity towards something, you know, like we all suffer from temptation, but maybe some certain temptations are stronger for me because of where I grew up, what my family is like. Have you heard people saying, yes, in this family, you mustn't do this because this tends to happen, or we tend to succumb to this type of temptation? And we see examples like that in the Bible, where, you know, Abraham lies about his wife, his son does the same, and you know, like, he's like, how, this is so interesting, the father and son did the same thing at different times, you know, they both lied that their wives are their sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that interesting? So it's temptations, it's things that happen, it's traits, it's even physiological things, you know, when you talk about genetic illnesses, you know, things that that seem to be passed down. So there are different categories, but generally it's things that get repeated from one generation to another. And it seems to be a curse sometimes when it's a bad thing, that why does this always happen to us? Like, it happened to Umkhulu, it happened to Ubaba, but now it's happening to us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what we call generational curses.
Fantastic. And I like that approach to generational curses, as opposed to somebody just pronounced a curse and this is why you're like that. I don't really buy into mm-hmm. that, because I think that it's really, you know, comes with, you know, one generation to the next, et cetera, et cetera. And I also understand that, you know, when and somebody actually did say that when your mother had you in the womb, they already had the genes of your grandmother already there.
Yep.
And so the circumstances that your grandmother, you know, ahead are passed on to your mother, which will then in turn come to you. So, you know, the circumstances, the fears that they had, for instance, you know, people would have a certain fear of heights.
The traumas they go through.
The traumas they go through, etc. Those get to passed from generation to generation. Wow. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Now, Bongi, tell us, these are generational curses. If we are to now think it just a little bit deeper into it, can it be used for as an excuse rather for bad choices or bad behavior or even good behavior?
Definitely. Definitely it can. Because it depends on how we understand the term generational curses, and we kind of spoke to that earlier,
mm-hmm.
that some people, they think it is I am predestined to be like this. I can't do anything. So it's not my choice. Sinje, there's nothing I can do about it. And you seem almost put in a box where you can't come out of it. And it's the way people view generational curses. So if you look at in a Bible text that I think sometimes confuses us, is if you look at Exodus 20 verse 5, the latter part, you know, depending on the version you are reading, in some version it says, for example, you know, I am a jealous God punishing the children for the father's sins to the third and fourth generation. So when you read it in that version, it seems like I'm being punished for my father's sin. Mina, I didn't do anything wrong, but because my father did something wrong, I'm literally being punished for that sin. But if you read it in a different version, for example, in the Message Bible, in New American Standard Bible, or even in KJV, it says visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. The term kind of changes in a way because you understand it to be living in the results of. So let me give an example. My grandfather or my father decides to gamble away our money or our cows if we were living in a homestead and we literally become paupers. I am born into the family where I am living and experiencing the results of what they have done. Right? But is it a sin to be born in such a family? No, it isn't. When does it become a sin? When I repeat it and do it myself. So this is where I feel it's important to understand that if we are not careful, you can view it as predestination, as in it's your lot in life and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's when people can use it as an excuse to say, well, what can I do? In this family, we always get divorces. Like it happened with all my aunts, it happened with all my aunts, you know, and my uncles. And you feel like there's nothing you can do. So it takes away that personal responsibility to make a choice, which is a bit tricky because we believe in free will and the power of choice. We can be born in circumstances that are trying, but until you decide to repeat it to yourself, it doesn't think. And I think a good example I also want to, before we move on. You know, there's a saying that people usually say when we talk about health and lifestyle diseases. And the saying goes as follows. Genes may load the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger. So genes may load the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger. Meaning you may be born with certain propensities towards having diabetes or whatever. But it's the lifestyle that is going to pull the trigger for you to actually have it.
So basically you're saying that there is a way that you can actually put an end, as it were, to generational curses. So it may have, I'm going to take an example of the diabetes, for instance. It may be that your mother, grandmother, great-grandmother all suffered from diabetes. However, what you're saying is that, well, you can make a choice that it actually ends with you and that the generations, future generations, do not suffer because you now have started a new cycle. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And for me, and sometimes we must view these things as God warning us. So we see that there is a tendency in our family for this to happen. It's almost like a forewarning. It's now up to you to decide, am I going to allow myself to go down that particular route, or will I make different choices that will lead to different results?
Now, from an angle of parenting, because I do know that from Weaving Reads, you have a particular focus on parenting. How does this, generational curses fit into the whole thing of parenting?
It fits quite prominently, if you think about it, because we tend to parent the way we were parented. And the way our parents, have parented us is usually be how they were parented. It might not be fully, because we see as generations pass, we might adapt a different style of parenting. But when I am upset, my mother comes out. It's like I'm saying the same things she used to say to me.
You
know what I'm saying? And Why we wanted to feature this in the podcast. Now, in the podcast that's going to come out, it's a clinical psychologist who's speaking. So she speaks more from a clinical psychology point of view than myself as a layperson. But why we thought it was important as a topic is because we need to catch ourselves and we need to see where, you know, what can we learn? Because, you know, generational curses speaks about bad things, but there's also the generational blessings. You know what I'm saying? What are the blessings that I want to perpetuate in my family? What are the traditions that have been passed down that are great and we have benefited from and I want to pass down to my children? Mm-hmm. But we also need to identify those practices that we want to put a stop to. So from a parenting point of view, it's understanding that you are the result of how you were raised. And some things were great, but some things maybe you want to tweak a bit. Maybe light came to your parents much later on and you got the light earlier on. Why not then focus on basically putting those things in place for your children so that we can break the cycles that we don't want to be repeated?
Is it always possible to break the cycle, though?
Well, I believe it depends. The question is depends. It depends when you realize. We like saying, can you imagine if you realize this, that you can break it on your deathbed? It's quite late. You know what I'm saying? You're about to die. The best you can do is warn. But if we see these things through prayer, God reveals to us and we see that, okay, so this is where, this is our propensity. We've got a weakness towards this. By God's grace, we should believe that we are able to, because the Bible tells us that he is able to help us basically overcome. We can do all things through Christ, literally. So we might not be able to break it for your entire family, but you can do it for your line. So what does that mean? We are children, you know. I always say 80s children. We were raised by our grandparents. And we were raised, many of us, with cousins. You know, that was just the how it was. One might be able to break a pattern for themselves because it's a personal choice. But you can't decide for your sibling or for your cousin or for you. You know what I'm saying? You might see that it continues in your family generally because X has decided to replicate or not to break it. But yeah, it is possible, I feel, through Christ.
Now, over and above trying to, you know, break this cycle yourself in your family for your future generations. Now, you're raising children and you believe that there is an issue that you inherited from your parents, great parents, great grandparents, etc., that you really wish that these children that you're having may not actually inherit. Would you say it's advisable to sit them down and say, well, guys, come here, my children, sit them down and say, listen, I need you to be able to behave in this manner because in our family bloodline, this has been happening. And we have now decided that we're going to be approaching it in this particular fashion. So please, I'd like you to please play along, even if your natural instinct says you should do this. But please go that way. Can one do that and sit down with the children? Or it's basically in how I practice as a parent?
I think both. I think what you have basically put forward is very proactive, and I would definitely recommend it. It's what we want to do for our own kids, to say, listen, we learn from history, ne? This has happened before, and it's happened to who and who and who. It's not a secret. We know that this has happened in the family. It could possibly happen to you, but you have the power to make different choices. We believe in free will. Once we take away free will, then we are animals, most, because we don't have a choice. So you do have a choice, but it's good to know the traps that could be, you know, coming. Because I also feel, you know, last week you were discussing the great controversy with Ubuntu. And in that discussion, I mean, we know that we are in a battle. The advantage that Satan has is he knows your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. You know what I'm saying?
True.
So he can bring the same. He knows that in this line, these people are weak, and this is where I'm going to get them. And he has that advantage. So We don't have that advantage, but we can pray and we can also ask our own parents, our grandparents, if we can, and we can also observe. And once we do so, let's warn the future generation, because all men have sinned. There's no need of hiding certain things. You know, if these things have happened, when it's now age appropriate, let's share and say,
true,
in this family, we tend to have this inclination towards stealing.
Mm-hmm.
We just do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Please watch out, guys.
Lovely. Now, before I let you go, let's quickly just touch on generational blessings, as it were. I think you touched on it earlier. But, you know, I'm looking at this that, you know, perhaps generations and generations have been immensely blessed, perhaps with a particular special ability. And we know that, you know, the great-great-great-grandfather used to be having this great mind for maths, for instance. I think it's one of the things I've actually seen in real life, where this family was just, you know, from the great father, great grandfather, grandfather, etc. These guys were just good mathematically. Now, is there a chance that perhaps when it now comes to this one, that blessing can be lost? Or once it's a blessing, it can be lost? Did you get my question? Hello, Bongi?
I think it can definitely be lost. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I can hear you now. Yes, yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah, hi, Bongi. Bongi, hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
The network is a bit not great. But can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
The simple answer for me is that it can go both ways.
Okay.
It can, if you can stop a curse, then you can also stop a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, this is not happening by magic. It's happening by choices and actions.
True.
So if one grows up in an environment where we study maths, we are very studious, then, you know, it comes down. I mean, my own father was a mathematician. He studied maths all the way to, you know, a higher education level.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I didn't grow up with him. And where I grew up, maths wasn't necessarily the most, you know, favorite subject.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Maybe had I grown up with him, maybe I might have been more inclined to maths than I am currently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I feel exposure and choices go both ways. If our grandparents do well, they teach the Bible to our parents, but somehow our parents stop. It's not going to magically just come down to us that, mm-hmm. you know, we are Christ-fearing and so on. It won't happen that way. It can happen both ways.
Lovely. Well, Bongi, thank you so much. Briefly, in a moment, so where can people hear more about this particular subject?
So on Fridays at 6:30 on YouTube on the Weaving Reads channel, there is a podcast that's going to come out this Friday at 6:30. And this is the topic that's going to be discussed with a professional that deals with it and sees it in real life. I mean, as she deals with her clients, she sees how these things can happen and she'll give more practical. So YouTube, 6:30 on Friday in the evening.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, ma'am. Have a fantastic one.
Thank you so much for having me. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.